Hello, welcome to the RTE Olympics podcast on a great night for Irish swimming. I'm delighted to be joined by Barry Murphy to reflect on Mona McSharry's phenomenal bronze medal in the 100-meter breaststroke. Barry's wearing his Tennessee t-shirt, so we know you're proud as on a country level and a collegial level then, is it, Barry?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'm Tennessee through and through. I spent 5 years out there, so you got to represent tonight. But yeah, what an amazing, amazing swim. I just couldn't believe it. I feel like I've swam that race with her. I was up the walls kind of before it, and then during the race, it was a roller coaster. You know, you watch the graphic, and the graphic usually indicates the top three. It follows the top three. And then there was the outside, the Italian on the outside. The American girl was closing so strong. Mona, the flag, the Irish, the tricolour was popping up, and then it was disappearing. And then she got her hand on the wall. And my goodness, like, what a feeling. Unbelievable, unbelievable. I think what we saw there is obviously a lifetime of work. But, you know, it came down to basically a hundredth of a second. Joint fourth was a hundredth of a second behind her. That's the smallest possible margin in swimming. And I think when we spoke yesterday, Mikey, we spoke about how the collegiate system refines racers. And really, that's what it was about tonight. It was about racing. It was about getting her hand on the wall, closing out. And you know, it was just phenomenal. She did everything perfectly. And, yeah. Our first medal since 1996, a few years ago, you know, I've been a swimming fan for the longest time, and then would have watched Sydney. We had two swimmers in Athens. We had three in Beijing, four in London, which I was one of them. So to see such a big team, and then to see, you know, Mona come away with the medal, it's amazing. And I'm so happy and I'm so proud of her.
Oh no, it was incredible. And you know, you say she took bronze by the smallest margin possible. She was only 0.05 of a second off silver. You know, by swimming standards, Smith was out there almost, you know, a third of a second in front. But
yeah,
she was awfully close to nip and tang for the silver as well. It was
And
it looked there 3/4 of the way through that maybe she was flagging, maybe she gone out too fast. And as you said, the graphic kept flicking from flag to flag. It was but as you say, you know, she was just a hair's breadth from getting silver. That's how good it was.
Yeah. Look, and that can happen. You know, she'll look at when it's all said and done, all the dust settles. Like, she's done 105.51, which would have got her silver. So her final time would have got her that second medal. But with the pressure of the final, it's just about racing. It's just about who's going to get their hand on the wall. And she was able to hold off Lily King, who is a formidable opponent, a former Olympic champion in the American. And then, you know, she wouldn't have seen the Italian girl, who is a world record holder in the 50 free. So these are the elites of world swimming. And Mona is duking it out with them and getting her hand on the wall. And it's brilliant. I mean, I don't even know how she's probably not going to sleep tonight. She's probably not going to sleep now for a few weeks. This is unbelievable.
I think there could be some sleepless nights for everyone involved in Irish swimming. Just to put that in perspective, like when you say it like that, like between second and the two joint fifth, the Pilato and King shared fourth place, like there's 0.06 of a second between those four swimmers. It's as tight a finish as you can see.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that race had everything. You know, looking back on it, if I can remember it, Mona was a bit down on her start. Usually she does have quite a good start, and you're worried. Then she touched second at the 50, and you're thinking, God, did she expend too much energy to kind of get back in contention? And she's relied on her work. Like, we know, you know, her form has been really good. In the 200 meters earlier this summer, she broke the Irish record by over 2 seconds. So we know she's got a great base behind her. And then, yeah, it just came down to that racing. So it is unbelievable. I'm so proud. I'm thrilled for her. It's not easy to walk this path, to leave your family, to go to Knoxville. Don't know if you've ever been to Knoxville, but it's a lovely town, but it's far away. Like, there's no direct flights. You always have to get your connecting flight. It's tough to do at a young age, being from Ireland and then going into Knoxville in a kind of Southern State. So yeah, like all that sacrifice, all that work, you know, missing her family, probably missing Christmases, that's all paid off now. Like it's all worked out, and you know, she can be so proud of herself, and just, you know, when it's all said and done and she does hang up the goggles, she'll always be an Olympic medalist.
Absolutely. And for people who don't know Barry, she made that Olympic final in 2021. She came eighth, which was a commendable performance. And then she followed that up like that winter by winning bronze in the short course world championships. But after that, she went back to Tennessee and like it kind of fell apart. She fell out of love with swimming, and it took her quite a long time to want to get back in the pool. I don't think that's that uncommon for swimmers, as I think it's a very lonely pursuit. I think you all probably have those dark moments of the soul, but I think hers was quite pronounced, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. There, I mean, there's definitely more downs and ups than in this sport, and it is grueling both physically and mentally. You spend a lot of time in isolation. So what I mean by that is the pool, like your senses are deprived. Like it's you in the pool, you can't hear anything because there's water in your ears, and it's a lot of time with you in your own head, just swimming repetitions. Worrying about your stroke, worrying are you eating the right thing, worrying are you getting enough rest, worrying is this the right type of training. All that stuff is playing on your mind when you're at that level. So it is difficult and it does eat away at you. But Mona is a competitor. So it just took some time to understand what she wanted out of the sport and what she wanted probably out of like her life. And it seems that she's taking that time away. And she has a real appreciation now for competition and appreciation for not being so quote unquote Mona the swimmer, but being Mona someone who does swimming. So yeah, it's a tough, you know, you gotta have these lows to really enjoy the highs. And it's all part of a learning curve and part of a package now that of learnings that she's able to put together that when the going gets tough, like we saw her walk out today and she looked incredibly relaxed.
She really did. It was remarkable how cool she
She's
looked.
waving at the crowd, you know, not even not using the headphones. Like sometimes a lot of swimmers, you'll see them come out with headphones, and that's just a way of them staying in their own lane and staying kind of in their own process. The headphones were off. She was taking in the crowd. She looked relaxed, smiling, waving. You know, all that is experience and the journey she's been on to get her to that point to be that comfortable where she was, and it all ultimately paid off because even when things looked a little dodgy, and I think again we spoke about this on the last time. So in breaststroke, it's one of those strokes that if you try too hard, you go nowhere. You spin your wheels, you slip water, and then the Chinese girl on her right hand side in the opening 50 went out quite hard. So she would have known, she could have probably seen that Chinese girl on the goggle periphery. And that can throw things off. But again, she's been down this road before. She's got that experience. She stayed in her own lane. She executed what she wanted to do. And then when the racing came down to it, she was able to get her hand on the wall. So yeah, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of what she's done. It really is incredible. We've had a great day of swimming earlier in the heats, and we had Ellen in the final. We got Danielle back as well. So, you know, even 4 years ago, if we were to get that, that would be, you know, job done for the swimming world. But this is probably, we're in day three now. We can expect plenty more second swims. I'm sure Mona's going to have, you know, to come back down and then get her head around doing the 200 now in a couple of days. But it's brilliant. And the whole team will now feed off that. I know Daniel Whiffen's going to be, he's going to like soak that up, right? They'll be, he'll be delighted for it, but he'll also be like, well, I need to get my name in the lights here now as well, you know. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. It's it's infectious that type of energy that she's now just instilled in the whole of team on, right? It's our first medal in the game. So a lot of people, a lot of probably medal con people in medal contention will feed off that as well. And yeah, so good, so good.
Amazing, amazing. And so just before I let you go, just a word on Daniel Whiffer then, who just looked awesome. And
Awesome.
some of like one of the medal contenders we were talking about didn't even make the final, you know, and he's qualified
Yeah.
first, so it augurs well.
Yeah. He looked cool, calm, and collected today. I think someone like a lot of it probably slipped under the radar of how close he was to the Olympic record. So I think 0.3 off it. And I was following the splits kind of as the swim was progressing. And yeah, he was kind of on the gas for maybe the first 600 meters, and then the last 200 meters, he completely stepped off the gas. He didn't bring his legs into it. He just shut it down. And then to be first into the final is, again, a great swim. Listen to his interview after it. It was just a matter of fact. Like, why was anyone worried about this? Like, it was just going to happen. I said I was going to do it, and I'm doing it. So just like, yeah, get your popcorn and get ready. So yeah, brilliant. I can't wait to see what he does tomorrow. Again, so there's going to be races in that, right? I'd be concerned about Bobby Fink. He's a baller, he's the defending
He
Olympic
was taking it
champion.
easy, I think, was he?
Look, there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. I don't think, it's the Olympic final, and Daniel has his own way tomorrow. Amazing. But I think if some of these lads will probably try and test him. What I would say is that if he's able to, rather than shutting down on the back half, if he's able to kind of take that out first 500, 600 out the same, and then build through that 800, it's no reason why he's not touching first.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome. And I can't believe we're talking in those terms of Irish swimming, but it's just such a huge thing, and like such an awesome progress that we've made over the last while. And these athletes have really put us on the map. And I'm so proud of them. They're just incredible. I can't speak highly enough of the whole team over there.
Yeah. Oh well. Look, it's glory that's built on the broad shoulders of like you as well, Barry. I'm sure that Swim
Oh,
Ireland would recognise those that came before and how they've helped. Look, it is phenomenal, and it was a good day for Ireland all round. Just to mention, the hockey team narrowly beaten by Australia 2-1. Aoife Casey and Margaret Cremin came through the repêchage to make a double scull semi-finals. We've discussed the swimmers and how we got on there. Robert Dixon and Sean Wadilove are in second place in the men's skiff halfway through the qualifying races in sailing. And as I record, Ireland are facing into a quarterfinal in the rugby sevens against Australia. Austin O'Connor finished 17th in the individual competition at the equestrian, and Ireland were 9th in the team event in the that's in the eventing. And Liam Jigo came very close to a medal in the canoe slalom, 7th overall. And Kelly Harrington eased through her first fight in the lightweight competition in the boxing, and I'm going to talk to Eric Donovan about that now in a moment. So Barry, thank you very much, and we'll catch you again.
thanks, Mikey.
Welcome back. As I said, Eric Donovan is joining us from Paris. How are you doing, Eric?
All good, Mikey. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, welcome to have you. Lovely. I'd say you're welcome for a little bit of company in that dark hotel room of yours anyway.
Yeah, this is my sanctuary now. This is where I get a chance to regroup and come back with the boxing analysis, and hopefully we have some good news to bring to people over the next couple of days when it comes to
Well,
boxing.
it's definitely been getting better, hasn't it? Because
Yeah.
after unfortunately defeats for Grainne and Aidan Walsh and for Dean Clancy, Jack Marty got us underway last night, and then this afternoon Kelly Harrington, I don't know, how would you describe it? She probably obliterated any doubts there might be about her form coming into the tournament.
Honestly, she was absolutely brilliant, absolutely fantastic. And because I had actually saw her opponent, oh God, what's her name again? Musiana,
Yeah, Luciana,
Musiana, the Italian. And she was brilliant in her preliminary round against Gazim Ozel from Turkey. And Kelly had beat the Turkish boxer before on a split decision only, and had beat Massiano by unanimous. So I was expecting the Turkish boxer to come through, but Massiano beat her and beat her well. And I just thought, right, she's after really getting ready for the Olympic Games, and she could see the physique, you could see the muscle, the definition in her, and you could tell that she was in really good shape. But look, no matter how much shape you get into, no matter how much sparring you do and prep you do, it's very difficult to prepare for a fighter like Kelly Harrington. Kelly Harrington is a unique athlete, What she has is an exceptional set of talent, of skills. Southpaw, orthodox, fight, box on her toes. She can retreat, she can navigate her way around the ring just effortlessly and smoothly. And it's just her performance today was flawless. It really was. And she preserved energy as well. That's what I liked about it. She didn't go out and exert herself too much. She'd done what the simple things, done it right. She was clinical, and she eases into the next round. Like, Mosiana probably landed a couple of glancing blows, side of the head, little kind of, you know, glancing ones, not much, but nothing of any substance and nothing. There was no significant shots taken by Kelly Harrington, which is brilliant for her going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And as she said herself in her interview with Siobhan Madigan after this, I was fresh out of the womb when I was switch hitting. So she seems to be very relaxed as well, which is good.
Kelly's a dream interviewee as well. Like, you know, she's just brilliant. She's brilliant.
Yeah. And she does, she seems very relaxed, doesn't she? But focused at the same time, which I suppose is the perfect combination.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kelly never lost a fight from the Olympic Games. The last time Kelly lost a fight was February 2021. So it was a good few months before the Tokyo Olympics. And then she went on this 32-fight winning streak. And her last, and she won in that European Games, a European Championships, and of course the brilliant Olympic gold medal, the prestigious Olympic gold medal. She won that. But her last fight coming into this Olympic Games, she lost in the quarterfinal of the European Championships. And, you know, you'd wonder, okay, well, what's that? What does that say? But I actually thought it was a good thing, because what it does is it just checked her, you know what I mean? And every now and then you need to be just, you know, humbled enough to be able to kind of take a look at yourself. And I thought, like, by losing her last fight before the Olympics, it's better to lose it then than coming in here and maybe taking your eye off the ball and things not going your way. And we can see what can happen with performances from Dean Clancy and Grainne Walsh. I know they're far better than what they did. I know they're absolutely 10 times better than how they performed, but they just didn't get it on the day. And it's a massive learning experience for them. But look, Kelly Harrington, if there was any question marks over her, they can be absolutely erased now, because she was just boxing over skin. It's great.
Yeah, and she is the benefit of being seeded. Obviously, now she's that was a round of 16 fights, so her next fight's quarterfinal, which if she wins, you know, she'll be back-to-back Olympic medalist, which is phenomenal. Yeah. And we don't know as we're speaking here just before 7 o'clock, actually, and her opponent will be known pretty soon. It's either Kosovan Sadiku or Hanna Valdez from Colombia. Do you know much or anything of either of them?
Yeah, no, a little bit. Yeah, I know a little bit about both of them. The Colombian girl is very strong, but she's been beat a couple of times by Beatriz Ferreira. We remember her from the Olympic final, who Kelly Harrington beat. And
she's still hanging around this time as well, isn't she?
Yeah. Look, Kelly was exceptional in that Olympic final, just brilliant, because she was a beast, you know, Ferreira. Mm. She was just really incredible, a formidable opponent. But she has a couple of wins over this Colombian boxer. And then Kelly has a win herself over the Kosovian boxer. So I think she will be all right. But look, again, it's Olympic medal at stake. You know, athletes are going to bring their best. They're going to empty the tank. But just judging off the performance today from Kelly, I would be very confident of her becoming a two-time Olympic medalist and joining Paddy Barnes as the only Irish boxers to win two medals, back-to-back medals, which will be an incredible achievement.
Well, surely will. And that's for everybody who wants to know, that's at 5:00 to 5:00 on Wednesday. But that's the nature of the boxing at the Olympics, Eric. It's one of the few sports that really spreads out over pretty much the full fortnight. So we've still got quite a lot of the team we haven't seen. And Kelly could win a medal on Wednesday, and Dana Morehouse and Michaela Walsh won't even have entered the ring. So just to give people just a quick refresher, Jennifer Lahan, Jude Gallagher, Aoife O'Rourke, Dana Morehouse and Michaela Walsh are still to box. And of those, from what I've read and what I've heard, Aoife O'Rourke is probably seen as our hottest prospect out of those. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, definitely. Aoife O'Rourke, another medal hope, without a doubt. Like, she hasn't, she's only lost once in 28 fights since her last loss in Tokyo against the Chinese boxer. She went on a 28 fight winning streak. Well, actually losing once in that 28 fights. And again, she picked up European Championship gold medal, European Games gold medal. And she's just really an exceptional talent, like, you know, real, like, a very strong force to be reckoned with, like, you know. And in the ring, she's just like, she has that physical presence and dominance, and she's just in your face, and she just really is aggressive and is just clinical, and she just takes you out. She just wants to take you out. And
she's a Gaelic footballer, Eric.
Yeah, but she's so unassuming as well. If Emilia can get her, yeah, like, you know, when she gets in the ring and that bell goes, she just goes for it, like, you know. But she does, what she does is, like, again, there's no real, you know, panache or, you know, or, you know, kind of flair or anything like that. She's just very stoic and, you know, aggressive, and she just goes in and gets the job done. And I love that about her, like, and her punches are so stiff, they're so, everything she does, like, methodical, you know. It's there's nothing fancy, just straight in, get the job done. And it's anyone that comes up against her, they know they're going to be in for a hell of a night, like. And but look, she has boxed this Wozniak about 5 times, beat her every single time. So she seems to have her number, you know. There's only one time that she got very close. They were all unanimous decisions, but one fight was a split decision loss, or a split decision win for O'Rourke. But there was no surprise that that fight was in Poland. You know what I mean? Yeah. So look, I mean, I think I'd be confident of O'Rourke coming through.
Great. Well, look, we won't go through it blow by blow here, excuse the pun, because we'll hopefully catch up with you again later in the tournament. Just kind of wanted to get a catch up on Kelly. And I suppose the one other thing I really wanted to ask you about was, this is the second Olympics tournament now, boxing tournament, that's been set, you know, run by the IOC without the IBA auspices being there, not under the auspices of the IBA. And there have been, as there is with every boxing tournament, as we in Ireland are painfully aware, every Olympics boxing tournament, there have been some people complaining about the refereeing and the judging. Some people felt that the referee in Gráinne Walsh's fight probably maybe let her opponent away with too much. And then there's certainly our in the case of the Welsh fighter Rosie Eccles, her defeat to a Polish fighter, that seemed to get widespread. There was booing from the crowd for that one, and the French crowd wouldn't always be getting behind the Team GB fighter. That one did seem to be the judging there seemed to be widely castigated. I'm wondering, would you be confident that the level of referees and judges are there, considering that it's not an IBA event?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I haven't seen anything that was really, you know, where I'd be screaming robbery or, you know, corruption or anything like that. But I did think Aidan Walsh's fight was scored very strangely, because in the first round, he won it 5-0, and he displayed boxing skills, elusive and evasive skills, making his opponent miss, and his opponent never landed one clean shot on him. But in the second round, he continued the same work, and if not done it better, I thought, done it a little bit better. But he was adjudged to have lost the second round 4-1. So I was kind of like, hold on here now, you know, because I was co-commentating on the fight, and I actually said, this is an inspiring performance. So I was expecting, if he got 5-0 win in the first round, sure enough, the second round should be a 5-0 win again, because he didn't only replicate what he'd done, he'd done it better. But no, and then I kind of knew then what way it was going, the pattern of the fight for the last round, and Aidan had to kind of go for it and change his tactics a little bit. But Aidan's not one of these fighters who goes at you aggressive in your face. He's a boxer. That's it. He's a counter puncher, a back foot fighter. So that's what he's good at. That's his strength. That's his signature move. But I knew after that, then I was very concerned about how it would go in the end. And look, the French guy won it. But I still can't say it was a daylight robbery or anything like that. But I thought it was unfair. But I thought it was unfair the second round. And the BBC journalist, Richie Woodall and Ronald McIntosh, they thought the very same as me. You know what I mean? And they were telling me about Rosie Eccles. Unfortunately, I didn't see her fight, but they were convinced she won, and they thought she was really harshly done and harshly judged, you know. And the sad thing about this is, I think boxing, oh, we know it's a subjective sport. We know that there is a certain criteria for boxers, for scoring criteria for the judges to take into account when they're scoring fights. And a lot of these things are pressure, punch output, evasive skills, dominance, ring generalship, so many different things. And it's very, very hard, I think, to actually get it so spot on all of the time. I don't mind if there's a kind of a 50-50 fight, maybe even a 60-40. You know, if it's a subjective sport, you just one judge might like this, another judge might like that. But if something is completely plain as day, night and day, want a red corner victory or a blue corner victory, and it goes the other way, this hurts me. It really does. But I haven't seen any of that. I haven't even heard of any, but apart from, sorry, I haven't seen any of it, but I have heard of one, which is the Rosie Eccles one.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any more. I know Grainne Walsh's fight was very close. Her opponent got a public warning, but at the same time, Grainne is a lot better. It was kind of a bit sloppy, bit messy. I was at one stage, I thought maybe hopefully the referee doesn't try and even it out here and give Grainne one, because sometimes the referees don't want to be the reason for they don't want to be the reason for victory or defeat. And sometimes they will just, if they feel that there's a reasonable reason to maybe give one a piece, they might do that just to even up the score. And so they're not responsible for how the result or the outcome of the fight would be. But look, what can I say? Overall, I can't say there's robbery going on or any kind of collusion going on or anything like that. I just think a couple of Irish boxers didn't perform. They lost. There's not much you can do about it. But a couple more got in and they performed and they got the victories and we move on.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Just briefly then, before we finish, can you just, in the case of Eccles, so they were scored even, and in those circumstances, the judges would give the level scores. They then vote for who they think has won.
Yeah,
that's different from how things were done previously, isn't it? Like the countback system or whatever. How does this sit with you?
Okay, so the way the countback system worked in the old computer scoring system was they had a red button and a blue button, and you had to land a punch with the white part of the glove, which is the knuckle part of the glove. And if the punch landed cleanly on the scoring areas, which is the head or the body, the torso, you press the button. And at least three of the five judges would need to have pressed the button within a 1 second period for the punch to register. Now, say a fight ends up being 20-18 to the red, say if the fight ends up being 20 all in score, then it would go to a countback. And so what would happen was the 20 points each is what was registered during the fight. But the judges may have pressed the button 35 times, but just 20 punches were registered
within the 1 second. Yeah, yeah.
So what the countback then would go back to, how many times was the button pressed? So if the score came down as 20-20, the countback might be 39-36 to blue. That was the countback. So the scores that weren't registered. But the new system is, if the score is level and it goes to a countback, it's a simple straight up vote to the judges, red or blue, who are you picking? And it's kind of, in some ways, you can kind of say, oh, well, that's if the crowd are on the side of one, you know, are the judges going to be swayed? The other way was kind of seemed to be taken out of their hands a little bit. But yeah, it's just a strange one, isn't it? And I don't know if like the scoring system in amateur boxing is something that is probably not going to be fixed by me or you or fixed overnight, but it's going to be something that'll be debated for long, many, many years to come. And something that has been debated like for a long time as well previously.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, you can catch Eric's co-commentary alongside Hugh Cahill on RTE2 for Jennifer in the Hands fight tomorrow and for the Irish boxers throughout the meet. And of course, you can follow the fights as well on RTE Radio 1 and the RTE Sport website and the RTE News app, where we'll have live blogs, exclusive highlights, that kind of thing. Before I let you go, Eric, we always I try to finish with an interesting old Olympic story here. So I've got a boxing one dug out for you. I'm guessing he was boxing in London in 1908, so you've probably never heard of the Australian boxer Reginald Snowy Baker, have you?
Wow, no.
No. He was the only non-British fighter to win a medal in the London Olympics. So talking about dodgy judging. After losing the final on points to a guy called John Douglas, he complained that the referee had not been completely impartial. And he may have had a point, because it turned out that the referee was John Douglas's father.
That's amateur boxing for you.
that is very amateur. Thing though, Snowy didn't let it upset him too much. He went on to earn 2 rugby caps for Australia playing as a scrum half, and he was also a silent movie star, starring in one movie called The Man from Kangaroo. So there you go.
Brilliant story. Brilliant story.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. Mikey. No worries. And look, we'll hopefully catch up with you again during the week. And to everybody else, I will chat to you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Bye. Take care.